Man, that lobby is cool as shit. That's the coolest lobby I've ever. I sent my wife a photo. I was like, man, it's like Moral Oral in here, and like,
yeah.
How do you say it?
Anomalisa.
I always say it wrong.
That's all right. A lot of people have trouble with that. You know, Charlie Kaufman, one of his, he wanted Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind to be like several more sentences long. He just wanted it unrememberable, you know? Just thought that was funny.
That's
but they wouldn't do it.
No, I remember when we were in New York, I went to go see that movie, like in... I had like 4 hours to burn, and like I went to go see it and could have
seen it three times.
Yeah. But unfortunately, no, the Anomalisa. Anomalisa. I went to go see that, and I remember the theater was packed, and I just thought,
really,
that would never happen in Alabama.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, believe me, we did not make our money back on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was really good. I mean,
yeah, I love the movie. I love the story, but you know, it's not a feel good movie.
No, well, you know, but that's what makes it great in a way.
Yeah. So you're, I saw you're from Alabama, and we've already started.
Oh, okay, cool.
This is all going to be in.
That's fine.
Yeah. I checked out your stuff. You've got like an amazing voice. Are you When Tish, my assistant, because she was going to come see you, but she got sick. You were at the Hollywood Bowl yesterday?
Yeah, last night, yeah.
She's sick today and yesterday, so she couldn't see you. But she was saying, you're like a white Otis Redding. is that what you bill yourself as? Or?
No, I think that's a little too lofty, I would say. No, I mean, for me, I grew up around that, gospel music.
And, yeah, that was going to be my question. So you grew up in like a black culture or just a southern culture?
Just a southern culture, I think. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a town that was about 800 people.
Yeah.
You know, middle of nowhere, Alabama.
And was it mostly white there?
It was mixed. It was, you know, you'd have both. And so, but in church, growing up in church,
yeah,
charismatic, you know, when they got to speaking in tongues and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's weird that like, it's kind of, it's very similar culturally. And so like,
are you a Southern Baptist? Or?
No. It was a non-denominational church.
Oh yeah, I guess they don't speak in tongues.
Yeah, Southern Baptists don't do the tongues and the healing.
Yeah.
So just growing up around that, you kind of, you know, it's just kind of sing that way.
Yeah, and is that why you don't drink?
No, actually,
are you religious?
I'm not.
No,
I'm not. Now, what the thing is. I feel like it's an expense thing at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just played the bowl.
I know. I know.
They've got to give you free drinks at the bowl.
No, you get free drinks. I just never have.
Yeah.
When I was younger, of course, it was a religious thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's like, I'm just like.
You were kind of conditioned not
you
to kinda, drink.
Yeah, maybe subconsciously, like, yeah. That's the way I think, yeah. You know, but I, at this point, I'm just like, I haven't. I mean, if I get like, man, I'll do it, you know, then I'll do it.
Don't need it. I mean, you let yourself go up on stage.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely the guys love it because, you know, early on, I'd be the designated driver. So they loved it. They were like, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, it's not any moral thing. It's just a weird, I don't know. It's a weird quirk, I feel like now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I won't hold it against you.
Please don't.
Yeah. Are you, and do you write your songs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Do you play? You play an instrument?
I do play guitar a bit. Yeah. I don't in this band.
Yeah.
So.
You just let loose.
I just let loose. Well, because what happened is when I was playing early on, we play these little club. You know, there's a place in Birmingham called Bottle Tree,
mm-hmm.
and there's this little like 200 cap room, and I would play guitar.
Yeah.
but I just ruined so many guitars from like getting on amps and jumping off. And I had a...
Yeah, it's like why Iggy Pop doesn't play guitar.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Iggy Pop doesn't need to be playing a guitar.
Yeah.
You know, like Gigi Allen never needs to play a guitar.
Yeah,
you know?
I need a guitar. I like to cover, you know, as much as possible.
Yeah, that's
get
the
one. My beer gut.
Yeah, that's... Well, of course. I wish I did, but... I mess them up too much. I do. I mess them up.
Yeah. No. So you write your stuff on guitar?
It varies.
Or piano?
Piano. Yeah. Sometimes what I'd like to do is because, you know, to me, like, I'm probably in the band the, like, sixth best guitar player because we have such, like, good musicians in the band.
How did you find the band?
Actually, I didn't. Jesse, who's the bass player, he knew all the guys.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a loner in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I'm not like a social butterfly.
Right.
So I kind of keep to myself. And Jesse knew all these guys and kind of gathered them together.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were all in Birmingham, Alabama.
It's interesting because it's such a black sound and it's all white guys.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you know, you have Muscle Shoals, which, you know, you had the Swampers, who were all a bunch of white dudes, you know, and so that's a lot of the guys come from that area.
Right, yeah.
And so, it is weird, like you, when you think of that way, because we don't really think of it like that, you know. Like we think of like, hey, it's soul music, it's part of the region.
Right, yeah.
And so with like the Swampers, like that was, you know, that's, right. You know, there's the that, you know, the Paul Simon story where he wants to, hey, can you get me some of those, you know, some of those black players and Muscle Shoals? And the Rick Hall, who was the owner of Fame, was like, these guys are awfully pale.
So he didn't even know. Wow.
He didn't know.
Yeah, because I, you know, when I first heard the music, I was like, okay there's gonna be like a bunch of blacks there.
Yeah. No. It's
almost blinded.
Yeah, there's. I'm a pretty pale guy. So it's one of those weird. It is. I know for some people, it's kind of odd, but it is a very regional thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you have that tradition, you know, all throughout. And so, because I mean, Stax Records was, you know, it was black and white. And,
yeah.
And there is a strong tradition in that, which is what we're pretty heavily influenced by.
And who else are you influenced by? What did you listen to besides the gospel? I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like when you were growing up, were you listening to a lot of?
So bizarrely, growing up, it was pretty strict in what I listened to.
Yeah.
So it was gospel and a little bit of soul.
Oh, okay.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So, and I was a pretty, you know, I wasn't a rebellious kid. I was like, you know, if the church doors were open, I was in them. And, that, you know, that's what I thought I was going to do with my life. And so musically, but when I hit about 18, I kind of fell out of love with all that.
Yeah.
You know, your worldview kind of expands.
Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, I was kind of religious as a kid.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And in the small town, like, the church is the social epicenter.
Yeah.
And so... You know, when I got about 18, though, it was full on. And,
yeah.
I just, you know, I loved music. And so I would, I mean, I remember starting, I mean, for some reason, I like, when I got out of that, I started with something like Tom Waits and Nick Cave, which was just like, you know, why would you start off with that?
So, yeah, well, no, that's interesting. Yeah.
And so it was a bizarre kind of journey because, you know, I had internet access, so you could just be like, all right, well, and then I started getting, you know, some friends who I feel like had pretty good, a lot better taste in music than I did.
Yeah.
And so it just, man, it's a rabbit hole, and it still kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
You know, because I collect records, and so I still feel like I'm playing catch up in a lot of ways.
Boy, I just got a jukebox, like a 45s jukebox.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm obsessed. That's kind of why I was a little late, too. I was just on the internet. I'm getting the stupidest stuff, too, because, like, you know, Halloween's coming up, so I'm getting excited, you know, I mean, in a month or two, 2 months, okay. But still, I get excited about Halloween, and I got Bobby Boris Pickett, do you know this?
Yeah, and the Crypt Talkers?
The Crypt Kicker, Crypt Kicker 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
You might be right. I don't know what they are, but they did Monster Mash.
Yeah.
But then he did like five other.
Yeah.
He ripped himself off like five times.
Yeah,
he's got like Bella's Bash, which is barely changing. He's got a song called The Monster Swim, which sounds exactly like. And he's doing Boris Karloff every time, and then throws in Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
boy, he was a one trick pony, but but they, you know, that was just such a huge hit.
Oh no, I mean it's my favorite. I mean, yeah, it's one of my favorites. I love that song, but I think of the Simpsons episode where they're on this, the radio guys, and it's Valentine's Day, and they're like trying to play the right song, and they end up playing Monster Mash. Right.
I don't remember that, but
so I always think about that. But that's good stuff, man. There's like I have a whole the LP the original LP that Monster Mash came out.
Oh really? What else is on there?
There's like, I want to say,
are there other monsters?
There's a what was it? There's a monster in the lagoon. Like, I mean, you're right. It's all like, yeah, it's all basically.
Yeah, the werewolf Watusi. I got that today.
I'm
paying like $30 for these stupid songs.
I'm trying to remember. There's a surf rock band that is all like Halloween themed.
Oh yeah,
I can't remember what their name is.
Like,
but
the Moon something.
Golly, what is it called? But anyway, but I remember that.
Are they an older band or?
They're older. It's not new.
Oh, okay.
It's not new. It's older, and they all like, right, it was like surf rock, and it was all like,
right,
Halloween surf themed.
Because surf was big when the monster boom was, yeah, big. So all the so when you hear surf now, you think monsters.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It happened at the same time. Yeah. No, I collect LPs. I have 40. So the thing about 45s, though, is, and I mean, I'm sure you know this, that the way that they were mixed back in the day, like when you listen to like old Stax songs, like, yeah, when you listen to Otis Redding songs,
yeah, yeah,
the way that they're mixed, they had on 45, they're boomier,
yeah,
and they have a better
great
sound,
yeah,
they have a better sound than the LPs because that record speed is done so slower or whatever,
right? Yeah, for a long time I thought LPs had a better sound, but no, it's the 45s.
It's the 45s are where it's at.
Yeah,
I mean, really, I mean, and then 78s if you can find,
yeah, yeah,
find a player, but who plays?
I got a few. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of the new players have a 78 speed.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I've got mine only have is 45 and 33.
Mine, if you hit 45 and 33 at the same time, it goes to 78. I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Just adds those numbers
up. You ever met some people that collect 78s?
Yeah.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
Louis C.K. collects 78s.
Does he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
he has a, you know, a manual typewriter, you know. He thinks he's Woody Allen and R. Crumb.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. It's high.
But 78s are, those collectors are, yeah, those are insane. Because, I mean, they are, in a way, historians.
Yeah.
Because there's only some of those.
Like, I mean, it's cool. It's cool to go and find, because you can't find those records. I mean, you know, maybe now you can find them, right?
Yeah. I mean, no? I want to say, I read somewhere where they haven't even put in, I mean, like 30% of what's been recorded,
right,
on digitally. So like it's,
but even, you know, like all these YouTube, it's just,
yeah, there are, I mean,
a shot of,
yeah,
the 78
spinning.
Yeah,
no, that's sometimes that's what, when there's something I'm really into and trying to collect, like I have to go to YouTube and find it.
Yeah.
Which is definitely kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Cause the sound quality's awful.
So what do you like to, what the thematically write about it? Is it just like all different?
What I like to do.
Like, has your religious upbringing influenced the words and meaning?
Sure, because that's what you draw on.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to draw on what you grew up with.
Yeah.
I feel like, I try to, and it's hard for me because I'm not the smartest guy in the room. So
yeah, like, you are right now. You are. So
I try to.
Congratulations.
Each, yeah. I try to have three meanings with the song,
yeah,
so that you can, and so I feel like that can be that for me. Something about that, just being able to draw what you can, and you want to. I do still feel like it's an artistry, you, mm-hmm, know.
Yeah.
And I feel like, so you have to pursue it that way.
Yeah.
And so lyrically, I mean, of course, I'm going to draw on like some religious imagery, but, you know, we've one song we did on the last record that was based off a sci-fi novel about, you know, aliens that turned out to look like devils. And,
uh-huh,
and
does that have a, like, kind of a gospel feel to it?
Yeah, it does. It
cool.
does. But there's a line in it that's like, basically, devils, won't you take me up with you? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to get in your space. Yeah. I want to get in your spaceship.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I think when we presented that song, they were just kind of like, I thought this was kind of a gospel song. I said, it kind of is, you know?
So you're kind of like a nerdy religious guy.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure.
I'm just going by your t-shirt.
This is actually a Japanese professional wrestler named Kenny Omega.
Oh. I don't know why I thought, because I don't know like a lot of like the nerd culture, so I thought that was just a...
I'm definitely a nerd.
But... I bought a shirt in New York just because I like that pattern, and it turns out it was a Green Lantern t-shirt, and like I have like all these guys, geeky guys, coming up to me going, hey, cool, like your shirt. And
yeah,
like, oh,
no,
really?
That, if there's one thing that you should gather is that I'm just a huge nerd about very specific things.
And yeah, well, I am too.
Yeah.
I just, not what, I'm not a big Star Wars fan. Or anything.
Well, I'm actually not either. Yeah. I'm not either. But I am a Japanese professional wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Bizarrely.
Wow. Yeah. That's got to be weird. Like, what are they?
It's weird. It's
I haven't watched it.
It's just different. It's different.
Have you written any songs about it?
Not yet. But that's on the table. My dream is they have a big event in the Tokyo Dome in January.
Oh.
And my dream is to.
I bet they would. I bet they'd love
it. I'd love to play it. That's my dream.
Yeah. Yeah. They would be fascinated. They're like. Round eye white man singing like a black man. I'm not very politically correct.
I like it.
So you say you play you write on piano or guitar. Are you good on piano? Or did you start on piano?
I know the notes on piano. Yeah. I can tell, you know, like if you like, oh, you're singing in C or something like that.
Yeah.
I can do that. I am not a. It's weird. I learned guitar in high school.
Yeah,
and. But I think piano. I always, what I should do is quit being so lazy and really sit down.
I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Too. Not about you, about me. Yeah.
But I should.
Because I don't even know how to bar a chord on a guitar.
Well, I know how to do that. The guitar, I know.
All right. Don't rub it in.
Guitar, I know. Yeah. But piano is the one. I wish I would.
You don't know how to bar a piano.
I don't know how to bar a piano. Yeah, I can't wrap my fingers around a piano.
That whole piano. Yeah, yeah, that would be a nightmare. So when you write with piano, do you have a keyboard player?
We do.
Oh, okay.
We do.
So, yeah. I never researched these shows.
That's fine.
I saw like one or two of your stuff, and you know it's great. It was amazing. You
right.
know, the first one I just heard, and then I'm like, oh.
Oh yeah, that's usually what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. I did not expect a chubby white guy.
Well, you know, I expected chubby, but. I mean, you can melt it.
You know? Yeah, well, that's the I think that's the one thing that I can sing in tune, and that's about all I got.
Yeah,
that's all I can contribute to the world. I think.
Yeah, I saw like this NPR thing where what are you standing on a high chair or something?
No, so they did that tiny desk thing.
Yeah,
and like the whole concept is to be playing around a desk, and it's supposed to be somewhat. Yeah, like acoustic and not just this big production.
Yeah.
And because we're such a big band, I was like, well, can I stand up on the desk?
Yeah.
And they were like, okay. And I ended up breaking the desk.
Did you really?
I was stomping on it, you know, and I felt so bad. I didn't break through, but I just, there's marks all over the desk. And I was just like.
Did they say anything?
Nah. I mean, they're just like, I was like, I apologize because, you know, I want to be polite, but like, oh, I'm so sorry.
NPR, they're made of money.
NPR, they're made of money.
Jesus.
But
they're like, oh, we got to do another telethon just for this desk.
Start talking about ants mating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that was that situation.
And do you guys write together at all?
Man, we do it so many different ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know, I'll just like have a voice recording on my phone.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah,
you know, do it that way. And like, there's a melody that I really like, or maybe there's some lyrics that I really fall in love with, or you know, I'll get with Jesse, who plays guitar. I mean, he really is the talent of it. He does, you know, guitar and piano and all the other stuff. So,
does he ever change your chords sometimes when you come in? Like, with,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. So a lot of the guys are more jazz players.
Yeah.
And so, which is so much more complicated,
yeah.
You know, and I think, I mean, honestly, the best players you're going to find are jazz players,
yeah,
because of the, you know, the chords and structure and all of those things. And so they think that way. Mm-hmm. So it's helpful for me, to, you know, he'll change things up and be like, well, what if we did this? Maybe, cause you don't, I think now what's hard, cause there's nothing new under the sun, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so music wise for us, what's hard, especially with what we do, is to like, all right, how do you do it just like slightly different? You
right.
know, what's the thing? And so, you know, while there might be like a typical progression that you do, they're going to fuck it up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean. Like they're going, and that's what I like. Like
right.
Jesse thinks that way. He's not going,
and it lets you kind of experiment with your singing too.
100%. I mean, that's the thing to me. That's the fun part is getting when you do these, especially with jazz chords. When you're playing those jazz chords, and like man, it as a singer, it can be a little challenging, but that's fun. You know, because if you just come out and play, all right, let's do G, C, D, you know, back to G, it's like.
Yep, that's me.
But you know what I mean, though? Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, well.
No, I know.
It's so for
so
us.
So it's interesting. So for you, the writing process is the starting point.
Yeah.
And then you just take it in and play with it.
Play with it, yeah. I mean, we probably sometimes overthink things.
Mm-hmm.
And which can be, you know, can be problematic at times, but I'd rather overthink it than underthink it. And so, but like the guys are, when you get horn players involved though, the nerdiness just goes just a step above.
Yeah.
Cause they're all like, all right, well, no. All right. On the 16th here, like what? All right. And then you're just like, oh God, just shut up.
Right.
But those guys, I mean, they're all, half of them went to school for music. So,
yeah.
So it's the arrangement and all of that stuff. That's to me, that's the best part of all of this is getting to create.
Yeah. And when you write, do you consider arrangement at all? Do we go, I like to hear horns here?
Sure. I mean, for me, like the last record, we got Lester Snail, who wrote all the string parts for Isaac Hayes and all the old Stack stuff, and he wrote the string arrangements for the record.
Wow.
And because it's darker, those are darker tones than horns. Horns can be very like honky and you know what I mean? Like this very, and so with strings, it gives it that darker tone and a warmth that you can't get with like maybe a trumpet or a trombone. So,
and so
we think arrangement, you know, it's like, okay, this song needs darker tones. It doesn't need the horns, you know. Or, you know, like we used the bass clarinet in some of the stuff, which it's one of the few of those kinds of instruments that has a real warmth and doesn't, it's not so piercing. And so we think about that stuff constantly.
Like, do you think I'm going to write a song to just focus on the trumpet or something, or
I mean, elements
some specific
of yeah
instrument.
Elements of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times. I mean, because really, horns are just horns. You know, especially back in the day, it was designed because you couldn't bring singers with you, and so
it's
supposed to be, you know, this like it's supposed to be like voicing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you know, you can. So for us, like the first record we wrote, a lot of those were written, you know, by us singing. And like, all right, and so it's melodically, it's supposed to hook you in the same way that vocals do.
Right.
And so, yeah, you think that way. You think, all right, you know, like you'll be writing something like, man, here's a horn part right here. And you say, I'll sing it, or Jesse will try to sing it, or, you know, or, you know, you have those guys in.
I got to get horns because then I want, you know, I could stop writing other verses.
horns. Well, we have 8 members in the band.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you have all sorts of, you know, bizarre, you can do anything, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And so we use horns kind of in a more orchestral style.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, I mean, we have a Hammond player who plays keys and piano.
Yeah.
And he is genuinely like, this isn't, I'm not like blowing smoke up his ass, but he is the guy in Memphis.
Oh, really?
So anybody that needs, Hammond and Leslie. Yeah. And he does things, because, it's draw bars, you got to do with your feet and your hands.
Yeah.
And it's like, it blows my mind. So you when you have someone that talented, you have to like, all right, where do we put him? Like, you have to give those, because you have to give those folks their moment.
Yeah. Are you in Memphis now? Is that where your home is?
Or? I'm in Birmingham.
I'm
born and raised in Birmingham. Never lived anywhere different at this point.
Yeah.
So.
But you're traveling a lot now.
A lot. Yeah. I think we're on the road probably 200 something days out of the year.
Wow. When did you start all this?
5 years ago.
5 years ago.
5 years ago.
So, and before that, you never really traveled much?
No. So, I got a passport because of this band.
Yeah. Whoa.
I've barely been out of the state of Alabama.
Yeah, so I mean, your mind must be expanding in a way where you. Does that affect your writing at all?
Sure.
I keep trying to like go back to the writing process.
No, that's fine. No, that's great. Yeah. I don't get to talk about that much. No one usually cares. They're like, oh, you're from Alabama, Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, when I was 18, like my worldview obviously expanded I grew up where gay people were not,
Right.
They were not accepted. And I thought that was so wrong.
Yeah.
And I thought that was terrible. And so, It's like, so you go through that. But the problem is like finding your identity in Alabama.
Yeah, it's
with that.
Gotta be tough.
It's difficult. And I think what's been beautiful about all of this is it has been this realization. It's like, oh, this is what I was supposed to be doing. And getting to go see the world. And, I didn't grow up around a lot of art, And so going to travel to Europe and, falling in love and going and seeing like a Caravaggio or going to see all these amazing paintings. That moves me and motivates me more than anything. And it's fun because I don't pretend to know everything. And so it's fun to just kind of like gather that. And it does like the way that they approach, like some of the painters approach painting. And then I get obsessed with it and I'll like read books about it. And
yeah.
And it's real like.
It's exciting. Excited for you.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. No, it is. It's great. But yeah, of course, like traveling and seeing the world and it's weird right now because, politics have always sucked in Alabama.
Yeah.
And now it feels like it's everywhere, which is so bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. Now Alabama's everywhere now.
Yeah, exactly. the politics is, and it's fucking crazy, but going over to Europe and seeing how that works and all of those things and like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then, we went to Australia and then New Zealand, which I just thought, it's like, this place has got to figure it out. They don't have this horrible story where they killed the natives and,
they don't? I don't even know anything about it.
Yeah, they embraced the culture.
Oh, they did?
Which was actually, I was like, oh, man.
Wow.
Wow.
Jesus, how did that happen?
That's what I said. I said there's not like some horrible tragedy, and everyone's cool. And you're like, oh, okay. I mean, it's a small place.
Yeah.
But
it's nice.
It's nice. It's nice. It's like, oh, so, because everywhere you go, it's like.
Yeah. I mean, even Hawaii.
Exactly.
You go to fucking Hawaii. It's like a conquered country.
You're like, and it's like.
It's kind of depressing.
It is depressing. Me and my wife went to Hawaii. And like we were in Honolulu and we went to the temple or castle or whatever it was. And they have the quilt where like this woman who was queen at the time was like sewing this quilt that because they were being kicked out of the country and all of that stuff or the state or whatever. And it's just, you're just, oh man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So
why was she making the quilt?
Basically, like she was in prison. She was like in like her hat and her
and the quilts
prison.
Tell the story.
And
right?
The quilt tells the story.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow. No, that is cool.
But yeah, no, the traveling really does. It's been great. It has been awesome. My wife's an academic, so she's,
when did you meet her?
When I met her, that was golly. That was almost 8 years ago now. But I was, what's crazy is
you're deep in Alabama.
I was living with my dad in a 2-bedroom apartment with three people.
Wow.
And didn't have a job. I was on.
How old were you?
Man, I was like 20, 25.
Yeah.
And you know, and
you knew you wanted to be a songwriter, singer.
I didn't know. I just wanted to make. I just wanted to get. You know what I mean? I just wanted to figure.
But you were.
Yeah, I was. I was like writing and singing.
Yeah.
But honestly, I never thought. That I'd do it for a living.
Yeah.
Of course, I love doing it. But, but you just. I mean, there wasn't a lot going on at that point. With Alabama, like you know, now there's a lot of folks coming out of Alabama, and it's great and being successful as far as music goes.
Yeah,
but I mean, when we first met, I do not know why the hell she was like, I see something in this guy. Cause she went to school in Birmingham, and then when we first met, she got a scholarship to get her master's in literature at Georgetown.
Yeah,
and so in D.C., and I was just like, whoa, this. Yeah. She's way classier than I am, and so. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're a smart, open-minded guy from Alabama. I mean, there's probably not a lot of those guys there.
I'm kind of
a bigot in the southern direction.
I understand it, but see, the thing is, I understand that, and it's tough for me because I still live there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still home, and it's difficult. It's difficult for me because you know it's like there's not a lot of people that. I mean, there are in Birmingham. Actually, Birmingham, the city itself, is actually a blue city.
Yeah.
By like you know, it's like 56%.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. In the city, but
yeah, because it's a big city.
Everywhere else,
yeah,
it's bad. I mean, it's weird. So it is hard because sometimes people will just say things that you're just like, why do you think I think the way you do?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly,
but in that state. It's just kind of way it is.
Do you write songs about where you're from?
Do you
find like you write them more now that you've distanced yourself a little bit?
Sure. I think what's interesting is that it becomes a part of your identity that you didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't realize that my family was redneck, kind of white trashy in a way. Like
it's just your family.
Exactly. Yeah. I
didn't know my dad had a Greek accent. I didn't know until my friend said, your dad has a Greek accent. I'm like, oh, really? He just sounds like my dad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you kind of go through that. But once you kind of get out, you're kind of like, okay, everybody didn't grow up that way.
Yeah.
You know, which and we all grow up. I mean, everybody's different. Yeah, I write about it. I mean, I wrote a song on this last record. Is it hell? Is it home? Or is it me? And it's about that. It's about like, you know, it's a complicated, and the South is a complicated place.
Yeah.
I can't help where I'm from.
Right.
You know, and so I feel like, you know, kind of part of the duty is to like try and, you know, like just tell people like, hey, look.
No, I think it's great because you are from that, but you are open-minded and so. It's kind of cool that you have these two parts of you.
Right. You know? Well, yeah, it's like, man, I love college football. You know, I love football. I love, you know, there's certain aspects that I really do love, you know, but then there's, you know, there's parts of it that I don't love. And so it's, but it is a part of you and you can't help that. And it's a part of your identity. And when I was younger and I was getting into like Tom Waits and Nick Cave and all this kind of like, you know, stuff that's a little left of center music wise. And it was hard for me because I was trying to figure out what's my identity in all this.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know a ton of people like that. And luckily there was, you know, Birmingham, there were some pockets of people that were. And I just, you know, I always felt like, you know, you just kind of, because you try to lose your accent and because you just like, you don't want people to think you're dumb and all this stuff. And then you just finally realize like, hey, that's just who you are.
Yeah.
And you just got to embrace that. And I think that's the, being in that spot has been the best place for me, like just like being who I am and embracing it and not really giving a shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, you know, and that happened with this band, you know, like that happened when this band is like, all right, I don't care anymore.
Right.
You know, and so it's cool. But yeah, no, I write a lot about home.
What about cooking? I got to tell you, I'm going somewhere with this because I love to cook and I like to write songs. So I want to write a recipe song, one of those recipe songs. Have you ever written a recipe? I mean,
I did a phone number song.
A phone number?
I've done a phone number song, not done a I like your style, though. I like it. That's. I like your style.
Yeah. Do you cook at all?
I don't.
Why you didn't write a recipe song.
Yeah, so I didn't write. Now we have our drummer. I love food. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not a very my dad's whole train of thought. Well, like cooking was like, all right, well, let's get some Chef Bardee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's his specialty.
Right. Well, that
frozen pizza. But we got a drummer in the band who is an excellent cook, and Birmingham actually is a really underrated food city. It has a lot of.
I don't doubt it.
The South in general is really good. It's got some really good food. It's not always good for you, but
no, it's never good for you. But I got a Southern cookbook once.
Yeah,
River Road Recipes, and the whole vegetarian section was add a pound of ham and bacon grease.
If you say you're a vegetarian, like at certain restaurants in the South, they just kind of like
you order a veggie burger.
You insult them.
You order a veggie burger, and you get a burger with tomatoes and lettuce on it.
What's your specialty as far as cooking goes?
I make this duck pie.
Duck pie.
Yeah, it's kind of like you cook a duck kind of like in a Chinese way, and then you take the meat off and. I wish I could set this to music right now. and then you put the bones in a big pot and just like 12 cans of beer, and you reduce all that down to like this caramely sauce.
Wow.
And I add lingonberries and shit like that.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It's good.
That sounds intense,
dude. I don't make my own crust, though. I buy the crust. There's a great French puff pastry crust that I use.
Wow. Well, that's what I was about to say. When we were in France, that's what I remember having some duck and rabbit and just like...
Yeah.
Over there, like all the venues that we were playing are government owned.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all like catered by like the local, you know, cook or whatever. And it was like... amazing. Yeah. You're just like, you don't get catering like this.
Yeah.
You know, in the States, it's like, it's insane. So I remember just being like, I would like look forward to catering in those places.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing I do love about going over there.
Have you ever thought about, do you speak any other languages? Or?
Not really. My wife knows Italian and Spanish one other one. I just follow her.
Right. Do you ever dabble with like just trying to write something in another, even like a line or two?
You know, something like I love like Serge Gainsbourg.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like researching, even with the last record, like he definitely influenced. It's like, cause I definitely like look at the lyrics of that. And, you know, one thing like it's really funny, like, he was one of the only like French artists to get a song banned from French radio, mm-hmm. which is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What
like
was
here,
it about?
I have something. I, you know, he had one about incest.
Yeah.
Which was with Charlotte.
I thought they loved that there. Oh, no, that's the South.
Wow. All right.
I'm not really joking, but I'm lightheartedly serious.
I can't remember what the song was exactly about, but it was obviously like a very like sexual, like heavy breathing.
Yeah.
And I listen, Serge Gainsbourg, I love.
Yeah.
And so like reading his lyrics and, you know, and he was kind of like the shock. You know, like he would do it to get a reaction out of people.
Yeah.
So it's like when he did that thing with his daughter, like it's the video was weird.
Right. Very sexy. Right?
Yeah. And it's like, and so I think, you know, it's just to get that reaction out of people, which I understand that because, you know, there's art that does that. It's and I feel like at this point, like to extract like genuine reaction out of people is kind of difficult.
Yeah. And how do you go about it? Like, with your songwriting?
I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult because I feel like, you know, we're somewhat earnest in a way, you know? So, I'm not, because I'm, you know, if I was like this genuine poetic person, you know what I mean? And I try.
Yeah.
But I feel like just like trying to just be who you are and just trying to write something that you know, so with the performance, you know, when you sing, it's got to be.
Yeah,
something.
You're really about your performance, because I wasn't really even listening to your words.
Right, and that's the thing. Yeah. I could be singing about monkey shit and no one, you know.
Oh, I sussed that out.
You sussed that. Oh, good. I'm glad. You sussed that one out.
Yeah, all your songs are about monkey shit, right?
It is. It is. That's what I did. but you know, it's one of those things where you just kind of. Yeah, it's the, you know, it's like you got to mean what you say.
Yeah.
And I'm so when it's going to be a performance, and that hopefully extracts some sort of reaction or.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because I think I'm more of a writer than a performer.
Right.
You know, so I write a lot of words and then I just stand there on stage. I'm like a statue and sing them. And
yeah,
it's an awful show. Never come see me.
I've got to now. After seeing The Lobby. it was awesome. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was. I mean, obviously words are important. And I think that to me is, I think, you know, we went through that transition because the first record was just like, all right, performance.
Yeah.
Who really cares? You know, the lyrics, you know, they matter, but it's really about the performance. And so when we went to the transition for the second record, it was like, I just felt like I didn't do it justice because I do, you know, I love someone like Tom Waits or Leonard Cohen and someone like that who are just, I mean, they really are like, sometimes the turnaround that they do on songs with lyrics is just it's beautiful.
Yeah. Cohen says he's worked on songs for like years.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And I get that.
Yeah.
And I get that. You know, unfortunately, you know, I have to make money. So
you know,
years is tough.
But, yeah. You know.
But
write some fast ones.
Yeah. That's it.
You know.
But I do like that. But like putting that thought process in into the lyrics is very important.
Yeah. I mean, to me, you know, I mean, I love Leonard Cohen's work. I just can't. I guess sometimes it takes me years to write a song only because I'll come back to a song. I'll
sure,
put it away
sure,
or something
100%.
Like that.
And there's things like that, of course, that are on the back burner that you're like, I'm still trying to suss that out and figure out, you know, like what's exactly being said and, you know.
But I think usually my best songs are the ones that just kind of come out, you know.
I think for me that's – it is either like one of those things where it's like instantaneous or it's –
yeah,
it's a grueling like dual like fight of like what, you know, and it's just like you get frustrated with the song.
Yeah,
so it's either or, and to me, I love the instantaneous ones because it's like, oh, okay,
yeah,
and it's like the light bulb goes off, but when it's a struggle of like, I don't know what to do. Like, what am I saying there? Like, what am I doing there? And then, and then you just kind of have that internal battle, and you just like,
you can't like Lou Reed. I always say Lou Reed says you got to get out of the way sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And I was, you know, I started writing this. We have an album, and then I started writing the second album, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm trying to find new chords, and the guitarist in the band's like. I've been in so many bands where the second album sucks because they're trying, you know, the songwriter's trying to find new chords. What the fuck? Just use the same chords you're always using. And no one notices.
Yeah. No, I mean, to be fair, like, I mean, there are plenty of songwriters who are brilliant who don't, I mean, they use probably four or five chords.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, There are songwriters in, like, you know, country music and stuff like that, like, back in the day that, like, it's not overly complicated music.
No.
But it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's beautiful and, you know.
I mean, punk is
right.
You know, like, nobody's going to sit there and be like, that guy plays just like Miles Davis.
Yeah.
You know, but it's got this energy and this thing to it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important.
So who did you open for? Or did you open, or were you the main?
So we're doing a co-headline with Trombone Shorty.
Oh, okay. So that's huge.
It was huge. Yeah. It's the biggest show we've played in L.A.,
yeah.
Which is pretty awesome, man.
Yeah,
and it's weird, though, because those are like, there's like, I think what's weird about places like that, and they're beautiful and wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know. Like, but there's like tables and like people sitting down and like eating.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm kind of an interactive performer. And
yeah.
So like, I just got out there and just like, like singing at them, you know.
Yeah. Did you get off stage?
Yeah.
Cool. That's great.
Gave me a 200-foot cable, and I think I went as far as I could up.
Yeah.
And so what's interesting is that, like, you know, people always go, oh, well, it's like this. You like this, like, you know, Stax and Otis Redding and things like that. Yeah. But, like, I my performance is just as much influenced by someone like Iggy Pop.
Yeah, yeah.
Than it is, you know, because I'm not coordinated enough to do the, like, all right, I'm going to dance now. And, you know what I mean? Like, it's very like, I want to just have like this moment of just like kind of letting loose. It's my time. It really is to me my time to just do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Is that where you're happiest on stage?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. You know, and like I get out, you know, I'll get out in the audience. I mean, the other, I'd like grab the trash can at one show and got inside of it. And, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And as a performer, like, I feel like that's, I mean, it's my time to like,
yeah.
You know, I don't drink. So, I mean, you know, like, that's my time to.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's my time to let loose.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, no, it was great last. It was great. Yeah. We've done some crazy, crazy stuff out here. So.
Yeah. And how long are you in LA? Are you leaving soon?
We did studio time and then when do I leave?
Oh, you did tomorrow. Some studio time?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's we're working with a producer for the next record and he was out here. And so we just, you know, worked on some stuff. I know it's not days off. I mean, there's not when you're in LA. I mean, it's like when you go to New York, like we don't have days off.
Yeah. There's I mean, my whole life is one long working vacation, you know?
Right.
It's like, I can't really say it's a job.
No, I mean, right. I mean, I always tell people, like, you know, with traveling and touring, like a musician, they don't pay you for the show.
Right.
They pay you for all the other shit.
Yeah.
The other shit you have to do. And so that's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I would. If I'd do the show for free.
Yeah.
But it's the other shit that you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, because I just started and I go on Facebook and I say, who wants me to play for free? I don't care. I don't.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But that's like, to me, that's like, it's like true, like, you know what I mean?
I love it. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm 52 and I wanted, you know, this part of my life, I won't say the last part, because who knows how long I'll live, but this part to be a new part rather than just like trailing off of a.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I'm sure, like, hopefully, and that's what I like for me, like, you know, if this ever like tanks or doesn't do something, you know, like I don't know.
Well, you'll always.
But I'll always sing.
Have it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, we opened up for the Stones.
Really?
Really.
Jesus.
I know. And that
when?
Was.
When was this?
This was 2015. So we opened up for them in Atlanta and Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I thought about it. And I was like, you know, when you do, like, it's like, to me, it was kind of like, it's like the birth of a child or getting married or something like that. You know, like, you know, it's important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, it's a big
definitely,
deal.
Definitely, definitely.
And so it was one of those things you're just like, that gave me this has given me an experience like that.
Yeah.
Where I like hang out with Keith Richards and Ronnie and Charlie and like Mick says hello. And I'm just like, you know, like.
Did they listen to you guys?
Yo, Keith, dude. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me all about it.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Keith Richards knows who we are.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Like he did they pick you guys?
Yeah. So what's crazy? We played Coachella.
Yeah.
Okay. And they have people. You know, they like have people go and it's like, all right, I'm gonna go do, I'm scout. You know, something. You know, maybe for openers because they were doing a tour. And a guy comes up to me after the show we do. And it was a great show. It was really fun.
Yeah.
A guy comes up to me and he's just kind of an older white fella. Like one of those like the weird hats, you know, like sun hats or something. And he's like, he's like, how'd you feel about opening up for the Rolling Stones? And I laughed and said, buddy. Yeah. You tell them.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
You don't do that to
you
people.
You tell them. Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't tell, you know. And so I was like, you tell them. Yeah, we're fine. And so we got in the van after the show and we're all laughing and like, did you can't believe this guy?
Yeah.
He was for real.
Wow.
And so what they do is they send the band to the, or they send, you know, send us to the band. and the band approves. And
well, so, like, what does that mean? Send.
So, like, Keith and them will listen to it.
Like, send recordings?
Yeah. And, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
And Keith actually, like, Keith was like a fan.
Yeah.
It was weird because, you know, Keith loves Otis Redding.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Adores Otis Redding. And
did he know you were white when he was listening?
Yes, he did. He did. But they have Chuck Lavelle, who plays keys for them.
Yeah.
He lives out in Georgia.
Yeah.
And his family's big fans of ours. And
oh, okay.
So, I went. So when I met him and when I, you know, the lady comes to the dressing room and says, come with me. And I was like, okay. So I get in this elevator and I was like, hey, where are we going? And I didn't even ask. And she's like, hey, you know, no, Keith wants to meet you and da da da. And I was like, and then you're just like, yeah. You just kind of almost pale face.
Yeah.
You're just like, well, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And my first thought was, though, hey, is the band going to get to meet them? Because that would be the worst. I only meet them and hang out, and then, you know, the band doesn't get to meet them. It'd be awful.
So we
go down there, and his daughter, who is, you know, this, you know, beautiful, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Gets on her knees and says, you know, are you St. Paul?
Wow.
And I was just like, now you got to realize, like, Alabama, you know, like living at dad's house.
Yeah, Jesus.
And I was just like, oh my God. And then we talked for a while, talked about Otis and talked about Tom Waits. Those are the two things we talked about. And because he did a song with Tom on As Bad As Me on Tom's latest record.
Yeah.
I love Tom Waits. And I was like, just, it was weird. But anyway, and so I hung out with Ronnie and Charlie and then Mick came in briefly. You know, and said hello, and it was one of those weird days in opening up that show.
And then when you're, so you opened up for one of their shows,
two of them,
and did you hang out with them more after that?
I only did it once. It's like meeting the president,
yeah,
in a lot of ways,
yeah.
And you know, you have to even if you have like passes or anything like that, you have to be escorted in there by like one of two people.
Yeah, because it's got to be crazy to be them. And,
it is.
Yeah.
It's got to be nuts.
Yeah.
It's got to be nuts. And so, it's bizarre, man. I mean, that is the kind of stuff that those experiences that you have that you just kind of go. I mean, you can't. Nobody can fuck with that.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
You know, like. People could talk shit or whatever, but it's like, eh, you know, like throwing stones.
No, it's great.
So it's pretty awesome.
And they're, you know, they're a very black group too.
Well, I think that's what's interesting is that they're influenced by you know, a lot of black musicians.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think there's that, you know, there's that kind of connection.
Yeah. Here's how bad of an interviewer I am. I haven't even said your name yet. Paul Janeway.
Yeah, it's Paul Janeway.
With us.
Yeah. That's cool. That's fun.
We just walk in and just start talking.
I know, it's cool. I like it. I prefer it this way.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, you know, I do a lot of interviews and stuff, and it's always just kind of like.
Yeah, I mean, the headphones are as professional as I get.
Yeah, I do love that you're like, you know, I don't really research it because then you're not going to ask the same question
exactly
that I get.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and your group is called St. Paul and
the Broken Bones.
And the Broken Bones.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you know, I mean, obviously, it's a religious reference.
Sure.
St. Paul, how was he killed? How was he martyred?
He was. It was an upside down cross.
The upside down, right?
Yeah, upside down cross.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's intense.
I know. It's like as if crucifixion isn't bad enough that you do it upside down.
I mean, well, you know what's crazy is like when I went to Rome.
Yeah.
You know, and all those old Catholic churches have they have to have like old remedy. Or what is it? The sacred like the chains that St. Paul was in.
Yeah.
Or you know, in the big one in the Vatican, St. Peter's Basilica.
Yeah.
They have to have they you know say that they have St. Peter's bones. I think.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know my, I mean my mom
all the relics
thought she had like a sliver from the real cross.
Yeah, yeah. So that's and so that's what I this was so what's crazy though is like when you go to Rome and all these old churches have those old relics in them, and it's just like one we went to had like it was like this it was this board that this dude got barbecued on.
Yeah,
and you're just like. That's messed up.
Yeah, you have to go out of your way. I mean, what someone was saying, you know, like people who hate, they're not lazy. You know?
That's very true.
Like, they got to go out of their way to fuck someone up like
that's pretty creative. Yeah. You know? You're like, God have mercy.
Yeah. Like, to, you know, it's easier to just, like, stab someone, but no, we're going to, like, you know.
Make them pay.
Yeah.
No, you're right. No, there's.
Upside down on a cross, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
That's messed up. Well, I mean, it's all the symbolism of.
And a hot foot. We'll give you a hot foot, too. You know, it's like. No, it's a. But wasn't the story about him that he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus?
Like Christ,
so
right.
So kind of, did he ask for the upside down
thing? I think so. Upside down thing? Like that. Yeah, something like that. It's
crazy story.
That stuff is crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. It's
good. It's like interesting.
No, it's extremely interesting. Yeah, how these saints and stuff got martyred and killed. Like, you know, you go to some churches and they'll have like the story about it, and like some people were thrown into like boiling pots, and you're just like, what?
I know.
It's nuts.
Yeah. God. Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe that's really it. You know, I'm a pretty nice guy because I'm lazy.
Likewise. Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I guess if I had more energy, I'd crucify a few people. Nah, I don't think I would, actually.
You know?
Nah. Seems like, yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. I don't like to watch people. Like, when I have a cleaning woman come over, I don't like to watch her work.
No.
You know, I like to leave, you know, so I'm not.
No.
I'm not going to watch someone
that's
scream across. This is getting dark, sorry.
So how I put that to my songwriting is...
I know, we really veered off. But that's all right, because it's your performance, I think the writing comes in your performance a lot.
Well, it's hand in hand.
Yeah.
It really is.
In your Christianity, in your...
Yeah, I mean, it's hand in hand. Yeah. It really is. Like, I don't think you can do one without the other of what we do. I mean, I'm not going to... You know, whisper words for 3 hours. It has to be part of the performance, which I think is, to me personally, and this is how I feel like that's the point of music, you know, is supposed to be hand in hand. If I wanted to write pretty words, I should write poetry.
Yeah.
And if it's just about that.
Right.
And so that's, and some people probably disagree with that. You know, some people are like, oh no, the lyrics need to be da 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 da. And I want the lyrics to be that, but I want them to be performed correctly.
Yeah. Right. I mean, ultimately, I would love my lyrics to be performed well. I mean, I kind of like the idea of someone else doing my songs. You know?
That's where the real magic is at.
Yeah.
Is if you can get someone to do one of your songs.
Yeah.
That's when you know.
Right.
That you've done something good songwriting wise.
Yep. I don't know that yet.
Well, you'll get it.
Actually, you know, a few people have covered a couple of my songs, on YouTube and stuff like that.
Still though.
Yeah.
Still though, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it affects people in a certain way that they're going to do the thing.
Well.
I mean, you're obviously, a very talented writer. So I
don't know how obvious it is, but
that's pretty obvious. But I'm just saying. So I'm interested to kind of listen to the. I'm actually kind of interested to hear your.
Oh,
your
thanks.
Take
well,
on
thanks
it.
For having me on. And
sorry.
No, I will. No,
I'm
no,
not,
no, no, no.
Ass,
I'm not.
I'm
not. No, no. I'm not. I'm just joking. But no, I'll give you. I'll give you an album.
That'd be great.
I'd be honored if you
didn't
listen to it. And I wanna see more of your stuff.
Yeah.
You've inspired me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Do you want to plug anything? Now, you're probably way more popular than I am, so it's kind of worthless to plug on the show, but go ahead if you want to.
I'm good, man. I'm good.
I know you have to. They said you have to leave at 3?
So, yeah, I got some sort of interview thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much. It was great.
It was a pleasure.
Great having you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll just trail off. And
awesome. Awesome, man. Feral Audio.